Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brand new season, brand new dawn for Formula One. It's the Bahrain Grand Prix, and it's lights out and away we go.
We are the green, this for my kid.
Take it away from him, down the way, straight to go. Schumacher blocks, Rose goes down the inside, and Michael Schumacher takes the lead.
Here comes Sebastian Vettel, he's neck and neck with Lewis Hamilton. Vettel is alongside and ahead, Ocon is also ahead. They're four abreast going into the cup. Vettel ahead.
Oh my goodness, this is fantastic!
Mercedes threw everything at him today. Charles Leclerc has proved brilliantly. He won in Spa. He wins in Monza. Charles Leclerc is the winner of the 2019 Italian Grand Prix. And now he finds himself alongside Michael Schumacher as top in the record books. The world championship record is equaled. Lewis Hamilton wins the Turkish Grand Prix and is a seven-time champion of the world.
For all the kids out there who dream the impossible.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Stop Fracker. I'm your host, Mahad, and we're back with another episode in these long, long breaks between races. And I'm joined by Anik. Welcome back. Where you been?
Brother, man, I've been about, man. I've been behind the scenes. I've been down at Maranello, been helping out, getting into NFL, the cricket going on. Bro, I'm multi-talented, bro. Playing a bit of footy here and there is what it is. But I'm here to focus on F1 now, man. Big heritage weekend coming up for the boys in red. So let's talk, man. Let's talk.
I thought the Heritage Weekend was in Monza, but
Singapore,
we changed the time zones.
The thing is, if we were in red, it could have been different. I think the boys were in yellow, didn't really work out. But don't worry, we'll be in red this weekend. We'll see what happens.
Well, sir. So, usual housekeeping: follow us at Pit Stop Fracker on Twitter. Follow us on Pit Stop Fracker on Instagram. If you are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Leave comments. We love it. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple podcasts, please leave a review, 5-star, please. And if you want merch, click on the link in the YouTube description, in the podcast description, and you can get yourself discounted Latifi merch because he's no longer with us. Goodbye, Mr. Latifi. To get started, we are going to be joined by other cast members later on. But to get started, we're going to talk about the fight for second. Because it ain't a fight for first anymore, because a certain team has let everybody down for a title fight, and their boys in Maranello just decided not to turn up. It's like it's like Liverpool when it comes to Man City. Sometimes they're just like, oh, I'm not going to turn up. Let's roll through the stats. 35-point gap between Ferrari and Mercedes. Is this possible? Is it possible, Alec, that Ferrari might be letting this slip, this second place slip in the constructors?
No, they won't let this slip. Ferrari won't let this slip. Honestly, they won't, because as I say this before, as I said many times before, they've got race wins. They know what it takes to get over the line in this era of car. Mercedes have been in the lead a few times over the past few races and they fumbled it. Okay, my mind goes back to Zandvoort as an example. Fair enough, you know, the safety car, whatever came into play. But I just don't feel Mercedes have it in them to get that car over the line. And race wins is what the difference is here. Look at Red Bull. Look at Max. As soon as they start putting those W's together, bang, 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 they're far and away. I personally think Ferrari have what it takes to still can win races in what's left of the season. We know that Red Bull is a dominant car, but I still feel Ferrari have what it takes to win races. And I think that's going to be the ultimate deciding factor here.
Do you think stability comes into play here? Because clearly, obviously, you just said Ferrari win races. Ferrari have won 3 races with Leclerc and 1 race with Sainz. And with Mercedes, no race wins, but they have 6 podiums. Russell's got 6 podiums. Hamilton's got 6 podiums. More consistent with that point gap. And the point gap's only 35 points. Only 35 points. Do you envision Ferrari winning? There's 6 races left.
We're going to at least get... We're at least going to win 2 races between now and the end of the season. We're going to win
minimum. With Max Verstappen about.
Yeah.
The gap in speed looks scary. Leclerc put it in pole in Monza. Verstappen was there already within a couple of laps.
But I think, look, Perez has fallen off. And trust me, if Max ends up winning the rest of the races, he's going to smash the record as well. So trust me, I can't even stomach that. I can't even think to stomach that. I think Ferrari will pick him off. And coming back to the consistency, okay, we get told about Lewis and Russell getting all these consistent podiums and, you know, Leclerc going, what, how many races? 5, 6 races without a podium? He went a long time, but yet he's still second. Like, those wins are crucial. That 8-point gap, including the fastest lap, it's crucial at the end of the day. And I think Ferrari, all they need to do, I know it's easier said than done, just a little bit of consistency. Let's just get, like, I don't know, a 2 and a 4 or 2 and a 3 or even a 1 and a 3 and we'll be fine. I just can't see Mercedes putting it on top step, bro.
Do you trust? I know you've had an issue with the second driver at Ferrari. Mr. Carlos Sainz, do you trust him to bring it home? Do you even trust Ferrari to bring it home in general? Is that car not going to blow up? It would be symbolic. It would be symbolic of the whole season because Max Verstappen can win the title this weekend at Singapore if Leclerc finishes 8th or lower and he wins the race. It would be symbolic if Leclerc is winning the race and his engine backs in. Wouldn't that just define the season?
So Leclerc probably has to take 1 more penalty, engine penalty. And looking at the calendar, what we got, Mexico, we got Brazil, we got Abu Dhabi as the last 3 races, bro. They are power hungry tracks. I can see the potential of the Ferrari blowing up, definitely, at one of those 3 races. But I just don't know. Maybe we'll take an engine penalty in Mexico and then come back for Brazil and Abu Dhabi, but I don't know, bro. I don't know. Hey, I think
it's crazy. Even one DNF is detrimental. There's a 35-point gap.
Of course. Of course.
DNFs is a problem.
Yeah. Sorry, coming back to the Sainz point, I put my hands up and say he's bridged the gap to Leclerc over the course of the season. He's done well. He was very unlucky in Zandvoort. He done a real good drive in Monza as well. So yeah, I have to say he's bridged the gap. And I think he can bring it home. And I think, I'll put my hands up, I'm one of Leclerc's biggest fans. And yeah, he has bridged the gap to Leclerc. He's closer to Leclerc now.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask this gentleman. I'm going to add him to the stream right now. Mr. Mars, how are you doing?
Waiting. I'm good.
I was just asking, Anik, there's a 35-point gap between Ferrari and Mercedes at this moment in time. Do you think Mercedes can bridge this gap, or do you think Ferrari's got it?
I think it depends what happens this weekend, to be honest. There isn't much more opportunities for Mercedes to get like some big points. I think Singapore and USA are the last two tracks they could possibly look to even get a win. So it really, and Abu Dhabi, I'll say as well, but it all really depends on what I think Singapore says. I think if Singapore Mercedes gets more points than Ferrari, then definitely, I think it's well and overdone with 2nd place. But I think if Ferrari gets some good points, which I think they should, and they have the capabilities to get a win, because they've been all right at the street tracks this year. But I think they have the capabilities to get a win this weekend.
Then have they been all right at the street tracks? Have they?
I mean, think Baku, it's more driver error, isn't it?
Baku blew up. Monaco, Baku. Nightmares.
Look, the car performance has been good at the street tracks. It's just the reliability, the strategy, where they've come unstuck. Jeddah is probably the only one where they probably lost on
raw pace. Yeah,
raw pace.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been too bad, but Mercedes have been awful at street tracks. So I think it's a bit like, it's a bit of a mid-off, isn't it? So
yeah, with Russell earlier today said, we've got a great chance winning at COTA.
Why did you not
say Singapore?
Is it because COTA is not power heavy? That's why COTA is not a power heavy circuit. I mean, it's power heavy.
It's got a lot of hills. It's crazy steep dips up and down, mm-hmm. but it's a smooth street. It's a smooth track. You know what I mean? Singapore is not a smooth track. We saw what the Mercedes looked like in Baku with the porpoising.
And obviously they haven't sorted it out yet. So
did they sort it out? Who knows?
They haven't. They said they still don't understand the actual what's causing the problems. They said it's still misbehaving at times, and they still don't understand what's going on at certain points.
This is a failed project.
But yeah. So this is what I mean. Like, if they're still not understanding with 6 races to go, I can't believe the season's is over already with 6 races to go. They can't understand at this point. Just scrap it and just focus on next year. Just exactly what Toto said last year in July. Just focus on next year, because you're not going to get it right this year. And by getting it right this year, what's it going to achieve?
Well, right. But I think if they're going to stay with the same concept, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they obviously haven't decided whether they're going to go with a new concept or they haven't made it public if they're going to go with a new concept or not. This concept, they have to get it right at some point this season. Like, they have to keep on trying things, because the car just leads over into next year. There's not much that's going to change in the regs to say that, oh, you know what, it's going to be a completely different car. We're looking at the engine. We have the engine freeze now. The engines are locked. You can't touch the engines. It's just the aero you can change. And if you're going to stick with this strategy, and you really think the Zeros iPod is going to take a second off the pace of everybody else, you have to stick with it. But the Mercedes problem is that they have to have the car so high, or the ride height so high. And that is the main problem that they're finding with the car. They can't have it low to the ground like a Red Bull, because they haven't got the people that know how to do that. All they know is high ride height. That's it.
Yeah. So, talking about stuff that Mercedes have achieved, they got this flexi floor regulation put into place after Spa. Anik, thoughts on why your team is cheating? Because clearly Bonotto has just said our performance has been affected by this technical regulation.
I mean, look, we weren't cheating. We're only cheating, you know, if we get reprimanded or fined for it. Obviously, the TDs come in, and we've got slower. I'm not going to dispute that. It's changed the way our car is. It's got slower. I don't know if it was cheating. I think cheating's a strong word. Well, maybe just, you know, using our muscle a little bit in the regulations, find a little loophole, and, you know, we were exposing that.
Why does Leclerc seem to not win races without dodgy circumstances going about? So we had the dodgy engine and now the dodgy floor. Does he even have any wins in Formula
One? Hold on. What made the engine dodgy? Like, and what are we talking about?
Because it was 30 brake horsepower faster than everybody else out of nowhere. And then when they had a word with him, they were slow as hell and they finished like eighth from what, and had to retire a car in Kota.
No, the win's still legal. No, the win's still legal. It still adds up. It all still adds up. The win's still legal. That has been taken away from him.
I remember Hamilton saying in Spa, like, why is this Ferrari so fast in 2019? Like, what is this? I don't understand. Overnight.
Italian engineering. That's what I call it.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Is it Italian engineering?
Yeah, it's Italian engineering.
Or is it having a word with Jean Bob, having a word with some guys at the FIA and getting stuff stuck under the table? Toto Wolff has achieved one of his goals by slowing you guys down. So he's reined you in now. You're 35 points behind. So he's achieved something.
It's close.
It was a Red Bull bluff. That's what it was.
Close.
But they thought they were going for Red Bull on that flexing floor thing. And then you guys just became the top.
I don't get... Look, Red Bull, yeah. Just, I don't know how they're doing it. How the fuck are they doing it? Like, they're still... Max just sliced his way through the grid in Spa. Same thing in Monza. Like, either their back office is amazing, they're building a quality car, or they must be breaking the rules as well somehow. Because they can't be that much quicker than everyone else.
I said this before. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I said this at the pre-season when we did our predictions. I said, these are not engine-dependent regulations. If Adrian Newey is only, all he has to do is just do the aero, and he's doing ground effect cars, something that he did his university thesis in, like stuff that he worked on in the 80s and nobody else has bloody done on the grid. Well, who's going to win? It's an unfair advantage. It's like me knowing the rules before the rules have come out. Like, I have experience in something. You don't have experience in anything. Nobody else has. There you go. It was a given.
Hmm.
And that the gap's getting further and further because probably the TDs affected even more teams because all that work that they worked
on.
It's probably that helped Red Bull. It's probably helped Red Bull.
Yeah, because it affected the eight other teams. They said in the report that all the eight other teams had to change something about their floor. So it was, nine. So including Mercedes. They all had to change something about their floor.
Mercedes shot themselves in the foot.
Basically, because when they brought a new technical directive, there was two parts of it. There was a part for the porpoising, and there was a part for
the floor,
the flexi floor. And basically, now the flexi floor only really affected Ferrari, really, but the porpoising directive as well that Mercedes were pushing affected them as well. And the only one it really hasn't affected is Red Bull. Because Red Bull can still have their car quite low to the ground without it affecting them as much as everyone else.
It's our own goal.
Yeah.
But in all of this, what I don't get is Perez has got slower. Is that down to the way the car is built for him? I just don't get it.
I think Max has got faster. I don't think Perez got slower. I think he just became more comfortable with the car. Perez was comfortable with the car. There was like a tenth between them at the beginning of the season.
So basically, what we're saying is that the TD affected all the drivers on the grid apart from Max Verstappen.
There we go.
Mercedes have indirectly helped the one guy.
Talking about Max Verstappen, he has a 116-point lead in the championship over Charles Leclerc, who is in second place. But what I'm going to talk about is Charles Leclerc in second place. He's got a 9-point lead on Perez. He's got a 16-point lead on Russell. He's got a 32-point lead on Sainz. And he's got a 51-point lead on Hamilton. Does Leclerc bottle this second place in the championship? Alex.
Okay, putting all bias aside, this is a big last six races for Leclerc. Big last six races for Leclerc. He's got to prove to, you know, the paddock,
to fans, even to Ferrari, what he's about now in these last six races. As I said before, I personally think he has a car under him capable of winning. He knows what the team is like. He knows the team at some points could screw him over. And I've also been his biggest critic as well. I've said in time at the British Grand Prix, for instance, he could have made the call himself to come and pit, you know, for softer tyres. He could have done the same as well in Hungary when they put him on hard tyres. So he knows at times the strategy, you know, can screw him over. So he needs to come out of his shell a bit and maybe make those decisions. I think it's a really big six races for him. I hope he doesn't lose second place. I don't think he will. I still think he's got it in him to get over the line and get second. But we're not here for second. We should have been here for first. So, yeah, all credit to Max. You done well. You got your first legitimate championship. But, yeah, for Leclerc, it's a big six races for him. And, yeah, I hope he gets a second. And I'm also expecting him to get at least one race win.
That race win might come to a Mercedes driver. Could come to a man that's only 16 points behind him, George Russell. You never know. Me personally, that 9-point gap to Perez is scary because Perez is in a faster car. No matter how slow he is compared to Max, he's still in a faster car. So if Perez even strings some podiums together, some P2s, it's long for Leclerc.
Do you reckon Perez could do well this weekend at Singapore? It's a street track.
Well, he's done well on the other street track. Last one, Monaco, he won. Baku.
Even in Baku, he was good.
No, Baku, he stunk, man. He finished second, but he stunk, man.
Yeah, he stunk in the race, but in the qualifying, he done.
In qualifying, he was good. He qualified second.
Oh, no, that was the street track, sorry.
Miami, how did he do in Miami?
He stuck it on pole.
Yeah, you don't know.
So he could... Listen, it requires a different driving style that doesn't really suit Max street tracks. Remember, we have memories of Baku and Jeddah last year. But honestly, I think if Russell can pull it together, he can close that gap. Perez, I think Sainz is too far out, 32 points, unless he gets a race win out of somewhere and starts consistently finishing ahead of Leclerc. It's going to be difficult to close that gap. Hamilton, unfortunately, unless he wins races, 51-point gap, six races left. That's Herculean effort.
But, bro, let's be honest. It's on Leclerc. It's on Leclerc to protect that second as much as he can. Like, it's on him now as well. Know that what Ferrari's like. It's just on the guy to try and protect it. And if you don't do it, then I'll be the first person to say that he bottled it.
Mats, does he finish second?
Is Leclerc?
Yeah.
Probably.
Why?
I just don't believe in Perez. Sorry. I don't believe in Perez.
Definitely don't believe in Russell.
What about Russell?
Definitely don't believe in Russell.
I actually believe in Russell more than I believe in Perez. I just, you know what it is, yeah? Like, a serious conversation needs to be had about Perez's performance. Listen, I like Checo, for one, but there comes a point where you just have to think, like, yo, I know you're doing it for the team and you don't want to disrupt anything, but you've got to be a man, bruv. He's just letting the team push him around and just do nonsense. And it's not... Like, I get it, you got your contract for next year and you probably want another contract for the year after as well, but stand up for yourself. Like, come on, man. You can't be allowing them to do this to you. They're treating you like Bottas. They're treating you like Bottas. Do not allow them to do that to you. They're ruining your legacy. It's literally it's disgraceful, man.
What was his legacy, though?
Huh?
He got his listen. Race. He got his pole.
Your legacy could be that I want to get 20 wins in Red Bull, in a Red Bull car. Try and get 20 wins or something. Bro. Huh?
There's no chance. His team is
try to get 10 wins, bro.
No chance.
Get 10 to 15 wins. You've got to be your aim by the end of your career in the next 2 years at Red Bull.
His contract's done end of 2024, so he's got two more seasons.
Exactly. At least look to be getting to 10 to 15 wins by the end of that contract. You can't be allowing them to just do anything to you, bruv. There has to be some part of you that wants to win. and just being a team player is just not it, bro. Like, even Boas had to get to 10 wins.
You know, I think with Sergio, yeah, I think his time at Red Bull has just been highlighted by moments. So he had, like, moments last year when he held up Lewis. You know, he got the race win in Baku. You know, even this year, he got the second place in Spain. He got the win at Monaco. Like, there's just moments there. And I think that's what's got him by. But I agree with Mats. I think he should be closer to Max Verstappen. I think he should be, you know, puff your chest out. Just try and battle him at least a little bit.
Exactly. Race him. You know, even Bottas used to race with Hamilton. I mean, I know last year wasn't the right time for Bottas to be racing Hamilton, especially like in Mexico. But he still was racing Hamilton at certain points. Like, they used to allow them to race sometimes.
So you know now...
It's just, like, just letting Max pass. Just go some goals, man. Just do something.
You know, now especially with, like, the title almost done, yeah? Max is even saying before races, you know, we don't need to win this. We don't need to win this. Red Bull know they don't need to win every race. They can come third, fourth, whatever, every race, and they'll be fine. Like, there is nothing wrong with letting your drivers race. I want to see those two battle on track and see what happens, but it will just never happen. It will never happen.
You can't race him.
Why not? The season's done. Like, why can't you race Max?
When Red Bull decide to let their drivers race, what happens? I'm a man of history. I know when Red Bull decide to let their drivers race. What happens, guys? The people that actually are saying Red Bull should let them race. You guys are just wanting chaos.
Max's maturity has grown as much as people have said this season, yeah, they will be fine.
There's only one person
going to cause an accident, and it's Max.
Hey, listen, Vettel used to crash into Webber.
Okay, but Vettel's on as well.
We all know what Vettel's on as well.
But when they were crashing, they were battling for first in the championship. When Ricciardo and Verstappen were crashing, they were like the equivalent to Leclerc and Sainz, like last year. Like, they were battling for, you know, P3 or whatever. This time, Max has got the championship locked up. Perez needs to try and go for second. Like, I would like to see them race a little bit. And I'm sure Red Bull will allow it. They have to.
I think they've learned from their lessons and they've done an internal policy where they're like, they're not doing that.
You can't do that, bro.
It's on a Barrichello, Michael Schumacher thing. They're just like, nah, we're not doing it. We're not risking it. Because I know after Baku, when Ricciardo and Max crashed into each other, they were fuming.
They were livid.
I think they're going for records, innit? They want most wins in a season and they want to take it away from Vettel.
Yeah.
They want to take that away from Vettel, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. But
so I think that's what they're doing at the moment. They're just trying to get Max that dominant season.
Put it away. And then they can focus on any other bullshit. They can focus on next season, to be fair.
They are.
They're not even fixing the car anymore. They're not even putting upgrades in the car anymore. They don't need to. But yeah, it's scary hours. Scary hours. Mercedes. To side pod or to no side pod? Was this a failed experiment this year, Mars?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. You know what? Yeah.
Because we've got Anik. Anik here is very, like, he's very critical.
I know.
Of these
things. I think out of context, yes. Out of context, yes. But as an engineer myself, not in the same field, but I understand a bit about aerodynamics. And sometimes it does take a while to understand the full concept of something. And the fact of the matter is, from what a lot of engineers have said, it is something that can work. You just have to get it right. And it's how much time Mercedes are willing to spend on that. But this is F1. And you cannot spend more than, I'd say, two seasons trying to make this concept work. So if it's not working if they want to continue with it and it's not working by, say, May next year, they have to bin it off. They have to bin it off and just for 2024 go with a completely different concept, because it is something that it will take time. It's a completely new concept that they're going for. Red Bull tried it when I think Red Bull definitely tried. They tried something when the new regs came into place, and they tried a new concept, and it took them a while to work till they got to the car when they needed the engine then for 2021. And it just will take its time, and you can't rush these things. It is, as I say, engineering sometimes takes a long time, so you can't say, oh, after one season, it's a failed experiment, because what if next season they get it right, or the season after they get, or by the end of next season they get it right?
And then,
exactly, you have to commit. I think that's the decision. They have to commit to it. If they're going to do it, they have to commit to it. And for me, I feel like it should be something they commit to, because if it is as quick as they think it can be, and as quick as the simulator and the wind tunnel's telling them, once you sort out the floor issues and the ride height, this can be an actual rocket ship. It could be an actual rocket ship. And I know you'll say, oh, but other teams would have developed their other concepts and all of that, but the potential that's there is almost a second. You can see it. You can see that the potential that's there is almost a second.
Based on
how high they have to ride that car. That is an absolute disadvantage to Mercedes. And the fact that they're still coming top three is a testament to everything. Like, you know me. I'm not one to big up Mercedes. I'm really not one to big up Mercedes. But when you look at it and you're saying they're coming top three, and they've got absolute, what everyone's calling a tractor or a shitbox of a car, there has to be something within that car. And the race pace it sometimes shows at actual racing tracks is phenomenal. Once they sort out that ride height and they can get that car close to the ground without it porpoising too much, they will be better in quality as well. And you'll see a much better car.
Okay. So, Anik, you've been a long critic of this no side pod concept. And do you believe that they've been hard headed, they've been stubborn? And do you think they should bin this off, or do they continue? Are they going to get a race win out of this car?
Well, so 100%, I think they should just bin it off. If they really believed in this sort of slimmer body F1 car, I personally think, and I'm no engineer myself, but I personally think they should have maybe gone for a conventional design like all the other teams, like the race-winning teams this year, and maybe iteratively worked towards a slimmer design and see that how that can, you know, best fit them. What they've done, in my view, is just gone for this concept and then, okay, that concept, and now let's tweak little parts of it and see what works for us. Let's be honest, they haven't got a race win. This is the longest Lewis Hamilton has gone into a season without a race win. Mercedes, being the Constructors' champions, they are there for race wins, and it's not delivered for them. In my personal opinion, they should honestly sack off the whole concept and just focus on a more conventional car design for next year. It may not get them up at the front of the grid, but maybe in 2024 and beyond it could. I think it's too far a stretch for next year them to go in with this concept and expect it to work. In my personal opinion, it's been a failed design. And unfortunately, you know, we were saying about they're going to have a rocket ship at the start of the year and everyone's got a target on their backs. That rocket ship went to Red Bull. Mats, I know you kept tweeting the hashtag. Red Bull got that rocket ship, not Mercedes. And that's not the way it should have been. We were expecting Mercedes to have that rocket ship, not Red Bull.
All I heard was Nui slander all over the winter testing. I just heard Nui slander from Mercedes fans saying, look, they're going to have a shit car. They're going to be fifth. Now they've got a car that's clearing everybody by 30 seconds.
And this is what, sorry, mad to interrupt there, but this is what really got me after the whole Abu Dhabi fiasco. It's like people were saying, oh, let him have this one because Lewis is going to come back next year for number 8. And even I was bought into that. So many people were bought into that and were like, oh, you know what? 2021 is fine. Lewis is going to come back next year and ace it. Where was the guarantee of that? Where was the guarantee of that? If anything, there was more guarantee of Newey delivering
that car, because exactly what you said at the top of the pod, this guy's been developing ground effect cars since the 1970s. This is his bread and butter. And that's when this whole sort of Mercedes as an organization is just really just infuriating and annoying me, because Lewis is the one getting hard done by here. He is not there for testing out new parts of the car halfway through the season. He is there for race wins. At that age, he is there for championships. He needs to collect his championships. Now, is he going to get that Mercedes? Honestly, I don't think he will. But we can save that for another discussion later.
So it's not for what I'm hearing right now, it's not only scary for this year, it's scary for next year. Because,
yep,
I'm not going to lie, if Red Bull got an advantage now, and then they go into next season and already have that advantage and then develop that car even further, who closes the gap? Because the gap's going to get bigger.
I don't know, bro. I don't even want to think about it.
Like, remember the last...
They'll bring in rules to limit Red Bull, man.
That's what's going to happen, because it's going to be the same way when they put in the 2017 regs, because 2014 to 2016 was a massacre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes was doing a massacre thing. And then after 2017, that's when Ferrari came back into the fold, into the picture, and started winning races and stuff like that.
And then they had to do another one in 2021.
For Red Bull.
This is what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Whoever's the fastest car, they're going to get slowed down. They absolutely nuked the Red Bull in 2014. They nuked
they it. Did. Yeah, yeah.
So they're not like strangers to their car getting dusted. Mercedes are. Because they've been winning for the last 8 seasons in the constructors.
But then it comes a point, like, remember in 2014, we had just come out of that dominant Red Bull car, the dominant Red Bull car where you knew Vettel.
About this.
2013 was dominant.
Well, 2013 was dominant, but that 4-year period was not exactly dominant, was it?
Okay, it wasn't a lot of mess-ups
by other teams that other cast members support in the Ratnahan. Mm-hmm.
Fernando Alonso being one.
We had 2012, we had the faster car.
Yeah.
So 2012, we should have won the title. Lewis should have won the title. If we were a serious team.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say. I think this is
2010. Sorry. 2010. Lewis was close. 2010 was in the lead. Lewis was in the lead. 6 races left in the championship. Fuck's sake. I forget about it.
Okay. So regardless, they were dominant. Okay. You start 2014, Mercedes are dominant. There's only at some point that Red Bull were going to be like, you know what? We're getting upset. We're getting pissed off here. And they were. You can see the amount of times throughout the seasons where Horner was coming on the radio being like, oh, Mercedes are so quick. And you can tell that they were upset. Like, when are we going to hear that vim from Mercedes to be like, you know what? We want to do better. We want to get to the top. Instead, just hearing complaints from them.
Towing,
and they're trying to bring other teams down. And in fact, they've helped. This TD has helped the one driver they shouldn't have helped. And that's Max Verstappen.
Toto ain't got it in him, man.
He ain't got that dog in him.
Ah, man.
He's got a lot of money, though.
He's got a lot of money, man.
Listen, the shareholders are happy, innit? The shareholders are happy until a certain point.
I think Lewis will get to the point where he's had enough of this shit. Especially if he comes into it next season and they're not the fastest car or even near the fastest car. He'd be like, what the fuck is going on here?
I think
Lewis does retire at Mercedes, and I don't think it matters. I think he continues with them until the wheels fall off, to be honest, until he's really ready to give
it up.
Don't
go outside, man. Don't go outside.
Because I think he's got too much wrapped up in that team. The initiatives he has, everything's wrapped up within that team. He's kind of built... He's tied his future to that team. And I don't see him. Where else can he go? That's going to be like, all right, cool. We're going to basically offer you this and a bunch of money. I don't see any other team doing that.
Ferrari, relax.
Ferrari doing Black Lives Matter initiatives. Are you mad? Go, buddy.
He can't go to Red Bull. He can't go to Red Bull.
No,
that probably won't happen.
I think they're definitely...
If he was available, though, and he said he wants to go Red Bull, he'll go.
I don't think he would go. I don't even think Red Bull want Lewis. Why would Red Bull want Lewis?
true.
They're not about that. They're about young.
It doesn't fit their brand.
Yeah, they're about young guys. Unless you're, the only time Red Bull want you if you're old is if you're going to jump out of a hot air balloon from space. That's it. That's the only time Red Bull want an old person.
McLaren ain't got the car.
McLaren ain't going to have the car for a while.
He ain't going to go Renault.
He ain't going Renault. It's retirement. It's Mercedes or retirement.
This is not what Lewis is here for. Lewis is not here to make up the numbers. He is here to win races. He is here to win championships. Is he going to get that in Mercedes?
His last thing would be like if Porsche or Audi come in and they make him like some type of shareholder and they can prove that they're going to have like a championship rivaling car.
That's the point.
I don't think it'll be with Audi because I think that's too close to Mercedes. It will be with Porsche.
That's a good point.
I think
that is a good point.
Well, just jump ship like I did with Mercedes when Mercedes came in.
You've got
the facilities, you've got the money.
Yeah, but Porsche don't have any of that anyway. So they don't have the engine, they don't have the facilities, and they don't have the money. So
trust me, it's not a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing jumping ship from Mercedes. It's quite easy to do. Look at me. I'm celebrating race wins this year.
You ain't thriving, brother.
I'm celebrating race wins this year. It's easy to jump ship.
Did you have fun this year? Did you have fun last year or this year? Tell me. You experienced more wins last year, mate.
Yeah, I had more fun last year, I'll be honest with you. This year has been tough, but still, I jumped ship, so. And it worked.
Stick with it. How long's your contract with Ferrari?
6 races left
until you get bored of the trolling and the fans on Twitter.
6 races, that's it. 2023 might be a new team, man. How many races?
New team? No way. What? So you're just going to be watching winter testing and whoever's got the best car, you're going to go there?
I don't even know, man. Ferrari team stressed me out.
You ain't going to Red Bull.
Listen, the Anik curse is real, yeah. Mahad, tell them about the Anik curse.
So, listeners, viewers, there's a thing called Anik curse. Let me break down this Anik curse, break it down proper, yeah. So, last year, Max Verstappen had that hot start, you know, he started winning races back to back. We're looking at that, what was that period of like Monaco all the way up to like Austria times? And Anik was slandering Max every race. He's a fraud. He's this. He's that. Guess what? Another win. Then, all of a sudden, he's like, Lewis ain't winning races. This is just before Silverstone. What's going on with Lewis? He's lost it. All of a sudden, Lewis wins a race out of nowhere. Silverstone. Then he's still criticizing Lewis. Oh, hungry. He's not letting... how comes he can't get past Alonso? Whatever. And he's criticizing Lewis from Silverstone up to the end. We're seeing Lewis Hamilton go on a hot streak. This guy's is silent. Whatever. Already made plans. I'm moving to Ferrari next year. Okay, cool. Second, he jumps to Ferrari. What happens? Goes to shit.
No, we win races. We won races.
When he jumped to Ferrari, they picked up some form, yeah? And I think that's when they jumped to third in Constructors. And then they started off so well and it was looking so promising.
Some of the stuff I was saying. Yeah. Oh
exactly. God. You're saying crazy shit.
And then he started slandering Lewis again.
He started slandering Lewis for the sake of Leclerc.
I do not slander Lewis. That's not true. Lewis is my number one.
We'll release the information. And this doesn't even just stick. This Anik curse doesn't even stick with F1. This gentleman decided, I'm going to support the Buffalo Bills. This is a week ago. Anybody knows Buffalo Bills? NFL team. Yeah? This is the team that's one of the best teams in the NFL. Quoted to be like they're gonna go 17-0. The second he supports the team, they lose again immediately. Nobody expected them to lose. They lost. This guy before the season started for Liverpool, Darwin Núñez, better than Harry Kane. Darwin Núñez looks like a scrub for Liverpool. He looks like he plays in Wembley goals. He's dusted, and that's the Anik curse right there. So if he starts rating your driver here and there, yeah, be very worried.
Anik is a real life correction.
Listen, if you want me to back Red Bull next year,
Anik,
I'll back him. I'll take one for the team. I'll take one for Team LH and back Max and Red Bull.
No. Do you remember when you backed Perez after Saudi?
Oh my God. You know what? I got football boys. Okay, I'm off. Right. Peace.
Anik's curse is crazy. Crazy. After Monaco, he's like, yeah, what's the name? Perez. No. What has Perez done since then? What has he done? He ain't got anywhere near race win. Anik curse is real, baby. Anik curse is real. Next subject. that we've got. It's a new segment. We're going to do this every couple, like maybe 2-3 times a year. Conspiracy Corner. And today's Conspiracy Corner, this is where we talk about conspiracies and find out what's going on. We've got a list of all the conspiracies in F1. And today we decided, Marks, we're going to talk about Sakhir 2020. Do you know what happened to Sakhir 2020? Do you know what conspiracy theory I'm talking about? Listeners probably don't even know.
No, I don't. I'm not aware of this.
The conspiracy theory is George Russell's tire wasn't flat. He didn't get a puncture.
Oh, this.
And they boxed him to prevent him from winning. First of all, yeah, I'm going to just go through this scenario, guys. Of George Russell's race.
That's a lie, man.
You're the right guy for this. Because you're a man that believes in conspiracy theories, but I feel like you conveniently won't like this one.
No.
You don't believe this one.
No.
Yeah. George Russell, for people that are not aware, on Sakhir Bahrain Grand Prix during the COVID year 2020, unfortunately, Lewis Hamilton got COVID and George Russell was called up to be the replacement driver for Lewis Hamilton. Was good all weekend, stuck it on P2 in quali. Once it got to the race, was absolutely like a duck to water. And he was dunking on Bottas's head. Clean. It was nasty, some of the stuff that was going on. Considering Bottas has been in the car since, 2017? And this guy just came off the street from a Williams and was cooking him in a car that doesn't even fit. It fit a bloody a short Lewis Hamilton, the seat. He didn't even fit in the seat, probably. He was just like, the car wasn't even built for him. George Russell looked like he was going to get that win. The win was just there for the taking, you know? There wasn't really anything that could stop him. That was the W11, one of the fastest cars in F1 history. Wasn't visible, but all of a sudden they tell him to box, telling him you've got a puncture. We couldn't see a puncture on TV. I didn't see one. I don't know what was going on. He gets boxed. They did the wrong tires. So they boxed Russell and they put Bottas's tires on Russell's car. So then he had to box again.
It wasn't even all the tires, it was two tires, I think.
And you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put another driver's tires on your car. So you had to box again. But he still had the opportunity to win that race because he was in that car. And then they told him he had a puncture and they had to come and box again. And he was like, absolute disaster. Look, I didn't see any visible puncture. Look, in Formula One, if someone's got a puncture, you kind of can see it. They look slow, but they boxed him anyway. And I think they didn't want somebody like George Russell coming into the seat and winning automatically straight away because it would look bad not only on Lewis Hamilton, but it would look bad on Bottas. And they kind of wanted to save a little bit of face here.
I don't think they would look bad on Lewis. I think it would look bad on their decision to keep Bottas for another year.
Do you think that was the reasoning behind it? If this was the case?
Probably. If it is a conspiracy, as you say, I think the reasoning would be that, you know, Bottas, you're being a bum and George has come in and he's won a race. And obviously, you know, the whole hoorah that would have been behind it and the whole thing. And it would have literally forced Mercedes' hand to take George for the next season and drop Bottas. They would have had to. There's no other question about it. The British media would not allow it. Sky would, you know, the Sky media machine, they would be all behind it. Get George into the Mercedes. He needs to be in the Mercedes. Like, you saw how that performance alone, how everyone was just eating off it. Everyone was just eating off of it. Like, yo, he's the next greatest thing to happen to this sport after Max Verstappen, blah, 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 all of that. So I think if anything was to happen, it would be because they would have had to drop Bottas. Like,
that season, 2020,
they would have to drop Bottas at the end of the season and say George is in the car for next season. And Toto clearly knew George was not ready for that. And
Was he not ready for that?
He wasn't.
It wasn't that proof. Like, let's really think about it. Look,
I don't think Toto saw the team playing him. Like, I mean, I don't see the team playing him at all now.
He ain't got a team player in him now.
I think last year, I think it's going for Lewis's eighth. Do you want to have that questionable young driver who's very fast in one of the fastest car on the grid, who you don't know if they're a team player? Do you want that kind of headache in your team and potentially upsetting Lewis when you know you have a dominant car? I mean, this year is kind of fine, isn't it? Because you ain't got that dominant car. It's a risk in a way. Like this year, it's like, if it's dominant, it's dominant. If it's not, it's not. They didn't know. But last year, you kind of know you're going to have a dominant car for next year. It's going to be one of the top two cars. And you don't want kind of that Rosberg-Hamilton situation again. Because as much as I criticize George and I come for him, he's a top driver. Top five driver on the track, basically. He probably is top five. Or bordering top five.
Sick right now that you said that. Kunle is sick that you just said that. Absolutely sick.
You know, but in all honesty, like, he's around the top five drivers. He might not be top five, but he's around that kind of echelon. And yeah,
let's talk about the event itself. Yeah, so he's led 59 laps of this race. Yeah, how often? I'm trying to remember. How often have you seen the Formula One team put the wrong tires on the car?
Not very often, but this is Mercedes. I mean, I know it's more of a Ferrari move to do that, but it's still Mercedes. They got Bozo moments in them.
And then when that happened, he still charged up to second place. So he still had the race on the line. He was there. Mm. And then he had this puncture and it was like,
Well, he ended fishing.
That's the only reason why this is.
Did he finish P14 in the end or something like that?
No, he finished like P5 or
something. Oh, was it P5? I can't remember. Oh, he came out, I think he came out at P14 or something.
No. He finished P9. He got points.
P9.
Because yeah. I remember that them saying that's his first points in F1, isn't it? Technically. But P9, man was in P2. He was P1. He led the race 59 laps.
Yeah,
even though the track's a circle and it's not a really challenging track, and Sergio Perez got the dub. To me, I don't know whether it's I'm gonna declare this not a conspiracy. The only reason why I'm saying this is not a conspiracy is because of the way Mercedes have acted this season in terms of pot stops and last season. If they were like efficient and doing a Mazine, like they were on it last season and this season, then there wouldn't be any, like, it would be look very, very dodgy. Because they'd be like, this is a top pit crew. Why the hell did they put the wrong tires on and then pit this guy for a puncher or whatever when he didn't even look like he had a puncher? Because we've seen Monaco last year, Bottas, longest pit stop of all time in the history of F1. We've seen multiple occasions where they've done slow pit stops this year and they've effed up. We even saw a slow pit stop that caused the incident in Monza with Max Verstappen, because if he has a normal pit stop, guess what? Lewis Hamilton's ahead of him and they're not going to go side by side into Monza, turn one, turn two. So I'm going to say it's not a conspiracy. What you're saying, not a conspiracy?
I mean, you've got my conspiracy juices flowing now. Like, I can't believe it. I'm going to back George. Oh my God.
They set him up. To protect, you know, so I can understand the whole wanting Bottas in the seat for 2021.
I think it's just more of a Bozo moment from Mercedes. One of their major Bozo moments, but that race was very fishy because that was two Bozo moments. I mean, Mercedes, I know they have Bozo moments, but two for the same driver, that's kind of wow.
Protect Bottas.
Mm-hmm.
Protect brought us. Got a late member here. Hello, Nam. How we doing?
Yeah, fine.
you missed the grilling of Anik. We're talking about zero side pods.
He's what?
He was going on a rant about zero side pods.
How was he?
The race of it, so. you can listen back to that tomorrow.
Did you discuss the Anik curse?
The Anik curse, yeah, I went through that as well.
Oh, okay.
And now he's left. So convenient timing, right?
It's very convenient.
It's like he knew you was coming. But how are you? Everything's well?
Yeah, no, everything's fine. Everything's cool.
We need to get your point on this. We're doing Conspiracy Corner right now. Sakia 2020. Was George Russell sabotaged by Mercedes that day? Because he didn't want to let go of Bottas.
Yeah, by the people who financed Bottas.
Hush money. Because when have you heard in Formula One people putting on the wrong tyres? Like, you're putting another teammate's tyres on the car. It's unheard of.
Because the teammate didn't even come in, did he?
He came in, like, lap after. And then they realised, oh, shit, we got Bottas' tyres. We need to put you in again. And he was leading the race, Russell. 59 laps of that race he was leading.
I mean, the optics just look bad for Bottas. That's why. Everyone knows my piece on Bottas.
And then, just to jog your memory, they pitted him. Russell charged back from fifth to second after that debacle, and he had an opportunity to win the race, and then all of a sudden he had a puncher and they told him to come in even though it wasn't visible for us.
Look,
he wasn't driving slow.
It's at the time I already said it was conspiracy. I was like, it looks bad for Bottas, for him to I swear he was doing his contract negotiations as well.
Yeah, it's towards the end of the season. They were deciding, is he going to drive for Russell in 2021? And there was a lot of talk about Russell driving in 2021 instead.
Yeah, so the money obviously Bottas was putting up was favourable for Mercedes. It wasn't the same coin as Russell's one. Russell didn't have the peas like that. And it just looks bad, didn't it? So you got to sweeten the deal. Can't make me look bad, you know. You want me to slide that money in?
He overtook him on track. Like, he got called up 48 hours before.
Yeah, he wasn't a good driver. I've said this to you.
So if we're talking about, okay, let's say an imaginary scenario where Russell does win that race, yeah? There is no chance they could sign Bottas for the year after. The optics would look too bad.
It would look terrible.
You'd have to sign Russell.
Yeah, you would. It's the same scenario of England right now with Tamari and Maguire. Tamari's not playing games, because if he does, boy, Maguire's never touching the pitch again. It's the same.
So protect Bottas. That's what Mercedes was doing at that time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And they tried to blame it on a communication issue, but what are we talking about?
It was disgusting.
Bottas' tyres are here. Russell's tyres are here. That would never happen to Hamilton.
Or would it?
So the team's working against Hamilton. I do not believe this is cap.
Where did I hear this? I heard someone say, a colleague of mine was saying, he's very unsure with how Hamilton's legacy is going to be kept intact at Mercedes. And I said, why? Goes because Mercedes, for the last four seasons, have done things to go against Hamilton. And it's starting to... He's changed the culture of everything at Mercedes and at F1 as a whole. But you have to still remember, some of these people were there 10, maybe 20 years before Hamilton. So they're still... They still have that kind of like...
Some of them are like the old school team from back in the day, like before even Braun.
Exactly.
Like people are struggling in that. These people are there for
years. Those are the same type of people that were saying no to Lewis's dad. The same type of people that were sniggering at them in juniors. They're the ones that are still at these teams. So...
You think the culture changes when Hamilton does leave or retires? It sways back more to the norm if Russell's leading the team.
You know what? I would assume, I know everyone calls Russell a Tory, but I would assume Russell has a bit more, it's not respect, but he has a bit more understanding of what the culture should be simply because Russell, how old is Russell?
25.
So, and Hamilton's been at Formula One for
since 2007, so 15 years.
So the majority of his lifetime watching Formula One has had Hamilton in it. So you'd assume that he, plus he's a British driver, plus he's one of the, he's probably the greatest British driver now. So you'd have to assume he would respect him, and therefore he would respect his legacy, and therefore respect his culture. I know someone like Marx is like, well, he just is like someone off Made in Chelsea, so he must be a Tory, and therefore.
It doesn't even matter about race, yeah. We know what we see what diversity politics is doing at the moment, yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I don't really care. He's a Tory.
I trust that type
of Tory rather than.
I don't think he's a Tory though. I think he's more, he seems more Lib Dem than Tory.
I've got a question. Literally just been put into the account, yeah. From at Artecas. Okay, Sam, whatever. Does Russell give you Southgate vibes?
No. Southgate is terrible.
At least Russell's good at his job.
At least he gets points. At least he does what he does. I'm watching this England game now, and I'm just looking at the shambles before me, and I'm like, yeah, this England's going at the group stages.
What's the score?
It's currently 1-0 to Germany. Penalty, though. Maguire mistake.
Germany, man. Kunle's just entered in the chat. He's a big Tory. So, So Marx is saying it's not a conspiracy. Is that what you're saying, Marx? I'm thinking it's not a conspiracy. Yours is a conspiracy. Sakir 2020. Russell.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Nah,
I'll go with them.
I think it is.
Oh, both of you say conspiracy. Okay.
Yeah.
We're ready. Okay. So, yeah, that goes for the first episode of Conspiracy Corner. We're going to bring back more. It's going to be even more controversial. So, don't you worry about that. We'll move on. So, we're just going to give him a brief moment. Nicholas Latifi. Has been announced that he will no longer be with Williams next season. I don't think he's a sought-after driver. Mark's force.
Bye, Bozo. It's about time, bro.
Any highlights that you remember?
Finishing ahead of George. Or he should have finished ahead
of Hungry. George. And he didn't cry, but Russell did. Oh, man.
It was the best day of my life. I can't lie, bro. You're finishing ahead of George and I can't stick it to Chris. That was it. But apart from that, go have some Nutella, bruv.
Three years.
Bye, let's be free.
why are you saying bye to someone that doesn't exist?
Yeah, no, he now exists.
All right, bro, he's going to be probably a hedge fund manager, bro. He'll be fine, man.
He'll be fine, man.
The streets are saying he's coming.
You know what he's going to do? I'll buy an AlphaTauri.
He's probably going to buy the pound.
We're in the mud. He's going to buy the whole British currency. We're finished. But I'm saying he'll end up buying a team. Watch. I guarantee it.
And it's going to be styled Latifi F1 with the I being replaced as a one. That's what the streets are saying.
Safina everywhere in it. Safina everywhere. Lavezza and Safina everywhere. Oh. Absolute Nutella merchant, man. Goodbye. Good riddance, man. I don't even care who they replace.
I didn't even know what he looked like until this season.
Oh, dear. My favorite highlight was dunking on two people in Silverstone at the race start this year. He was cooking. I said, what? And then when he got purple sector, green sector, orange sector, and qualified P20. How you qualified P20 with a purple sector? Purple sector one. That means you're just faster than everybody else. and you still finished P20. You're sick.
Do you know what that lap reminds me of? Yeah. Do you know that thing with Ralph Hasenhüttl when he celebrates and then he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. that laugh is the epitome of that.
I could have just imagined it when he's driving and you can see the delta on his steering wheel. He's like, I'm cooking. And then the lap's just falling away from him completely. And, oh, I'm P20. I'm out. Q1, gone. So, yeah, we'll keep you alive in our thoughts because he will be the Latifi Ward. We're going to keep that in his honour for the person that has a stinker. But who's going to be the slowest driver? Who's going to replace him? Who's going to be that guy that's two seconds off the pace? Who's going to be that guy that's replacing him next season?
If they keep Mick Schumacher, I think it'll be him.
You heard that, Chris? Hold that.
Hey. Do you want to talk about it right now, Mick?
We spoke about him last week, but Mick, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of stories coming out regarding Mick about how he dealt with the Austria situation with Magnussen and a lot of the people at Haas not really particularly happy with how he approached that situation. And for people that think decisions are solely made in F1 based on race performances, I don't think it's like that, especially when you're young. Especially when you ain't got really those race performances that like stand out like crazy. He's not like finishing P3, you know what I mean?
It's Gasly, isn't it?
If you're an arsehole behind closed doors, like people thought, oh, Gasly got dropped by Red Bull. Nobody knows why. Oh, turns out he was beefing Newey. If you're beefing Newey, you gotta go, mate. If you're telling Newey your car's having a howler, I need it designed this way. You're telling Newey of how many years to design the car a different way. Stop that. We don't know. Mick could be a nice guy in the media and stuff like that. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors at all. We have no idea. So clearly this decision to not keep him at Haas is based on stuff that's off track that we're not privy to. We don't know. And there's a naivety about approaching it in a way like, oh, Haas are making a dumb decision. Look at them. What are they doing? This guy's putting in performances better than Magnussen, blah, 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 blah. If he maybe contributes to a toxic work environment or something like that, he needs to kind of bounce. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's important, though, isn't it? Like, when you're dealing with these things, you have to be a team player. And if you're not a team player within the team, they're meant to be your family, basically. You're with them for what? 40 weeks out of the year?
Yeah, man.
You've got to really... They're like your second family. You've got to really not be ruffling feathers like that. And if you are, it doesn't sit good. I mean, I get, like, you sometimes frustrated. You had a frustrating season last season where your car was basically absolute crap. Like, it's the worst thing I've ever seen in F1 since Caterham days. But it's like... You've now got a car which can give you points, and then you're not really getting those points, and you feel like you need more updates and all of that. You feel like you're faster than Magnussen, and you should be getting priority over him, but you can't really be that vocal, especially in a team like Haas. I feel like you got to really know how to play your position in a team like Haas, because they're like your last opportunity in F1. Them and Williams are like your last opportunity in F1. There's not much that people can say like, oh, you know what? I've got another opportunity somewhere else after this. So, yeah. Bye, Mick.
Bye, Mick. Bye, Latifi. listeners' questions, guys. Let me get them up. Okay, we're going to go through. At Psycho Relic, shout out to At Psycho Relic, my brother. How do you think F1 could adapt, improve their sustainability drive? Anybody can take that.
I'll be back 1 second, yeah.
No problem. Mm. What?
In terms of sustainability,
first of all, not have a dumb calendar.
That's what I was going to say. You know what? Yeah, I will say this in fairness to the FIA, we don't know what exactly is going on. And basically, with Miami, where they have Miami, they can't put it in the winter months at all. Basically,
why not?
Because of the NFL and it being hurricane season. So you can't, because obviously it's around Hard Rock Stadium.
No, you can't have. There's no way you can have.
Obviously Miami. I think Miami is.
I think you should pair Miami and Canada.
That's what they should have done. But they decided. But now we're flying to where? We're flying to Azerbaijan before we get going back to Canada.
And then we go back to Canada.
That's the most ridiculous.
The thing is, obviously, we were not privy to all these conversations, and I feel like the FIA aren't stupid enough to not know these things.
No, but I think they are. I think F1 have signed contracts with certain people for certain months.
Yeah. And
they've now got like 35 tracks that they need to fit into a 25 track calendar. And as a result of some drive, some of them are promising 1 month and promising another month to another one, they can't make it work logistically. They have to always have the European races in the middle, obviously because it's the summer months in Europe. Yeah. And then they've got places like Azerbaijan where it's not really a European race, so they can't really put it with the European ones. And all that block is taken up. And then you just have to figure out the rest of them. They fumbled. Instead of them thinking, okay, cool. If you want to join the calendar, these are the slots you can go in.
Mm.
And then we'll figure out the pricing and that. They probably left it to the organizers, and they've just said, you know what, if you want to do a Formula One race, it's going to be £40 million. Someone like Baku said, okay, cool, we want it in this month then. All right, yeah, no problem. And plus, we want a 5-year contract. Yeah, sure, no problem. Just give us the 40 million. I think they're that stupid.
Do you know what's stupid?
You explain it that way, it makes sense.
Do you know what's stupid, yeah? On the calendar. You're going to fly from Japan to Qatar to Austin, Texas.
Makes no sense.
What are you doing? Why is Qatar there? Can you put Qatar...
Why can't Qatar be...
At the beginning of the season, where Saudi
Saudi's the second race, isn't it?
Saudi's the second race, so just make Qatar the third.
So it's good. Bahrain, Saudi,
Qatar. It should.
I don't know why.
What we're doing now is Bahrain, Saudi, Australia. Like,
this why is there a 2-week break between Bahrain and Saudi as well?
Should be back to back. They literally are in the same time zone.
Qatar, all of them on the same time.
Yeah, I know.
Between put Qatar in there. Why are you making families and teams and everybody fly from Japan to Qatar to the United States when you could directly fly from Japan to the United States?
You know what that is? They're flat earthers. That's the thing. Yeah. They're flat earthers.
That's the title of the pod.
Okay, another point on back to Sakharelli's question, yeah? About sustainability and how they can increase it. I think they should limit the parts that they use. I want cars blowing up like it's the 2000s.
We'll never see
Ferrari. That's what I said earlier in the season, bruv.
We'll never see Ferrari win anything ever again.
Ferrari will never finish a race ever again. No, but do you know what, though? It really pushes teams to work towards actually building parts that survive. Not just like, I'll just take a penalty there, take another ERS.
I think penalties should be financial as well. It shouldn't just be back of the grid. It should be financial penalties.
It is a financial.
You lose a million off your budget if you have to get another engine.
You got to buy.
Simple as. So the million that you spent, the 14 million you spent on a new engine, you have to lose a further 10% on top of that for taking another engine.
No, but technically it is financial because they're all in the budget cap, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah. Take a further financial penalty.
What you need to do is...
But I think they need to increase it anyway.
You tell every F1 team, you get 3 of every part. Make it work.
I think 4. Because of how many races they every
part. You make it work. Whether you swap it out or whatever. And if you want an extra part, you need to hold a penalty on your constructor's points.
Like a luxury tax.
People go into the luxury tax to build super teams. What you have to try to do is level out the playing field.
No, but I feel like if you're funding other teams, if you're saying, all right, you know what? You have to pay 10 million on top of this. You want a new engine? You have to pay 40 million, and that 40 million is split between the teams. Teams won't go for that.
I'm talking about from a sustainability standpoint. If you're
pushing into
the corner to use that engine longer, therefore they don't need to make another engine. If you're forcing a team to make sure that they're using that gearbox longer and build a gearbox that's more sustainable and that a lot and can be recycled and can last longer at that period of time, then you're using less gearboxes. You're making less gearboxes. You're putting less energy into that situation. So, and if you're running things longer, the more likely that it's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then but that brings a little bit of excitement there, get me? Oh, he's been running the same gearbox for 10 races. He's done out here.
I said this before. I want class to blow up. I don't really understand why we don't... Teams should... We shouldn't... Like, the budget cap should be literally fixed. There's no way they should be allowing teams to be able to break the budget cap. Because they are allowing...
They're doing the budget cap because they've decided to implement a budget cap without any penalties.
Exactly.
They don't know what the penalties are.
Teams should not be able to make races. I'm a firm believer in that. Teams should not be able to make races.
We haven't got enough we ain't got enough parts. Okay.
You haven't got enough money to get to the race? Fine. You ain't got enough parts to get to the race? Fine. These are all things, yeah. If you've got a small business, these are all things you have to take into account. This is basic household things. If you can't pay your bills, it works against your credit score and whatever. All of that.
Credits, F1 credit score. And listen, no, it's true. I'm about to do fraud. Their credit score is flagged in that paddock.
But it's true though. Like, if these things work against you and you should work against you, like, you shouldn't be having to say, like, you know what? We've broken a budget cap. What's going to happen? We get a 100K fine at the end of it. What's that? What is that? These teams are all owned by billionaires.
To the richer teams, it don't matter. I think with the fuel, it needs to be the most sustainable fuel available as well. Like, we shouldn't even be shortcutting any of that at all when it comes to sustainability.
Technically, the fuel should be diesel. I think the fuel should, like, some type of biodiesel.
It needs to be a biofuel.
Huh? Yeah, like a biodiesel fuel.
But there's
like
even fuels that don't... I swear there was a fuel that... I'm not going to speak out of ignorance, but there was another fuel that's even more sustainable.
But they're working towards that. I will give them...
They're going to keep ICE. Because if you, the second you say we're going to have an electric engine, all electric engines, it's Formula E. So Formula One's not going to turn into Formula E. One concept within Formula One is they're going to keep ICE in some short, some way, shape, or form. They're going to keep an ICE in the car.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They'll never make it all electric.
I don't think they... Yeah, they won't.
Unless they go with a hydrogen type engine.
Hydrogen cars, yeah. Hydrogen cars can go, man. They're making hydrogen planes.
The technology's not there yet.
Yeah, it's not there for it. It's not very there for it. It can work, but fam, imagine consistently doing a hydrogen car at 200 miles per hour around Monza.
Woo! Jesus Christ.
Well, listen, F1's got a sustainability issue, and we've got this target of being net zero by 2030, whatever. We'll see how it goes. But inherently, if you're going all around the world...
Yeah, but let's go back. Let's go back to Lacanda. They started to do the whole branding about they've been net zero since whenever, or they've been hybrid since wherever, and they've got this target. And then they've done the worst logistical calendar that they've ever done.
Yeah.
It's
stupid.
It's not like F1's just rotating between Brands Hatch, Silverstone, and you know what I'm saying? He's not flying all over the gaff. And you've got how much stuff?
And they've got the shipping containers as well. You think about all the shipping containers they have to ship everything all across
massive
the world.
Massive containers as well for the car.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And then
I think the footprint for F1.
Sign up, guys. England might win the World Cup, you know. The comeback was mad.
Right. They're winning now.
3-2.
Jesus.
Southgate in.
It's coming home, guys.
Maybe he is George Russell.
Next question from Raj Dingus, our number one hater. Bottom five team principals on the grid right now.
It's not Gunther, because that's what he wants us to say.
You know what? I'm purposely not going to say Gunther.
The first one has to be Bonotto.
Bonotto is not a good team principal.
Yeah, he's...
He might be a good engineer, but even that's questionable because the engine's blocked.
Bonotto has to be top bottom four. Has to.
Franz Tost. What? AlphaTauri.
Yeah.
Howler. He's having a howler.
I've got a theory on that. You know, I've got a theory on it.
Go on.
I think he's doing a. Red Bull are basically like the City Group. They're just
don't get sued, man. Don't get sued, man. He was having a howler even before. Listen, this guy, even
he's tanking. He's tanking the season, sense, man. He's tanking the season for.
For number one pick.
Yeah, he's tanking it for more wind tunnel time.
I love it, man. He is. You know, low key. Yeah, I used to rate him, but Otmar howler.
No, I don't think you can really blame a lot of Alpine's problem on him, though. I think he's coming to a new situation, and they've kind of just... He's the face of it.
Yeah, who was the other one
before? And Alonso is kind of like... it was...
What's his name? He got sacked in a year, man.
What's his face?
That guy that was supposed to be the
French guy.
Yeah, the French guy.
He was going to be the new Michael Massey, basically.
Yeah, he blew up Renault.
What's his name again? Cecil.
Cyril,
that's it.
He's a bozo, man. Get that guy out of here, man.
Yeah, absolutely terrorist.
I'm trying to think of five. So Bonotto,
Jos Capito,
Franz Tost, Jos Capito. People don't remember Jos Capito was team principal at McLaren. For like 4 months.
He's terrible, man.
He was fucking terrible.
He's terrible.
But obviously he had a lot of success in rallying, isn't it? Being a team principal there.
Mm.
So he's got a lot of clout, but I'll give him a little bit longer. It might be I don't know how I avoid Steiner. you know that guy, Alfa Romeo.
Oh, Alfa Romeo. What's his name?
Fred something.
Listen, but he keeps the team together, I can't lie. Like, they're bad, but he keeps the team together and they don't have problems. They're just a bad team.
Keeping heritage. Why are they all French? I'm just clocked. The bear never French yet.
I think it might be Toto.
No, you're not putting Toto bottom five, man.
I can.
No, I'm talking to this guy, man.
He's putting Toto bottom five, man. He doesn't do nothing.
No, I can't allow that. Even if I got Toto agenda, I can't allow it, man. Next question. Who will finish in the drivers' championship between second and sixth from _RC7? We already answered that. So rewind earlier in the pod.
What does he mean in order though?
I'm gonna say Perez, Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, Hamilton. Hamilton Sainz.
I'm gonna go Leclerc, Perez, Hamilton, Sainz, Russell.
How is Hamilton gonna be? How is he gonna beat Russell? If Hamilton could beat Russell, he could beat all of them. Because they basically got the same points.
Mm.
Russell has to have a howler, that means no podiums, nine.
I'll blow up his engine.
Oh, bloody at Uzair Saeed, what is your prediction on Merck's direction's performance next year? Do you think they will stay with their current concepts? We kind of answered that question already, brother. So a rewind. I think they will beat Ferrari. I definitely think they will beat Ferrari next year.
Wait, why is Quinlan mentioning Claire Williams, bro? Leave Claire out of this, man.
He's cooked.
No, Claire.
She's at home.
She's at home, man. She's out here finding Liz Truss.
Claire Williams to Liz Truss, man. Nah, you can't do that. Liz Truss ain't gonna make it to Christmas alive, man. I love it.
At D Conscious, we've got a lot of questions. Thank you, guys. Once again, when will trial for Anik begin? Will there be tickets?
Look here,
signers be for Schumacher.
Look here, I think if we're gonna be perfectly honest about this trial for Anik here. We really need to pray for Mercedes win, because then it's unassailable.
He's boss case. He's out.
If
Mercedes don't win, he's boss case. No.
No, it's just it's gonna be hard to pin him down.
We're gonna have to get into it.
It's an Anand Saeed case where it's moving, bro.
Oh,
this, It's like we need a way to pin him down, but
just we're gonna have to send letters of no confidence in. That's it.
Letters of no confidence.
Even that. The man is moving like Trump, man. Oh, yeah, Anik.
Hey, listen, you missed it, man. He was here talking rhetoric. They need to scrap that idea. Bro, they're wasting Lewis's years. You missed it all, man.
I knew he would do that kind of stuff, man. He's Trump.
All right. At RDM Ghost One, shout outs to you. What are your thoughts about people going from outraged about Silverstone prices to being outraged at the site not loading so they can buy overpriced tickets? Were they two different groups of people? Or the
hey, listen, I'm going to get you into a secret, yeah? If you use Twitter, you're stupid. No offense, but you are. You don't know anything. It just doesn't make sense at all, man. It don't make sense. I'm tired of you all. This might be my last appearance on Pit Stop
Frank. Here we go, man. I'm never watching Formula One again.
Just think logically about these prices, okay? We're in a cost of living crisis, yeah? A cost of living crisis does not just apply to us. And I will back Silverstone here because I'm not a capitalist.
I'm gonna stop you right now, yeah.
Why would I pay
for one ticket on the Hamilton Straight for one day on the race for £729?
Because Silverstone
just race day.
Silverstone is not run by it's run by the UK Motorsport, yeah? So it's run by that governing body. They don't get funding for Silverstone.
Yeah, I know.
They have to make some type of money. Yeah. They pay what, close to 30 million for the race every year. When you divide 30 million by 100,000, the 100,000, the 140,000 are going to come. The tickets have to be in the hundreds. And I get you're going to charge hospitality prices, but then you also got to factor in how much you have to pay for security. Security in this country is probably one of the most expensive in this world. There's a lot of things that go into it.
Get your side, badge guys. Good part time work there. Carry on.
No, but like dynamic pricing, okay, that's kind of something new they're trying, whatever. It's not fair, but it is what it is. They have to make some type of money because this one event kind of contributes to a lot of other events that come trickle down towards the rest of this the thing. So it's not, you're not just paying for Silverstone, you're paying for a lot of other things. And it helps fund the UK motorsport, fund the marshals training, to fund everything. So in a way, I know from the concept of looking into these things and you're thinking, oh, why am I ever paying 600 for grandstand and all of this? But you just have to think this is what you have to pay.
If we do quick maths, let me do quick maths right now, yeah?
No.
400,000 people attend Silverstone, yeah? 400,000.
We'll say 200 because...
No, it's 400,000 last year. So it's going to be even more this year. So let's say 400,000.
Is that over the whole weekend though?
Over the whole weekend.
Yeah, but you got to remember that's multiple people coming in. That people using the
same people twice.
They're probably counting the same people twice. Over the day, they'll be saying 400,000 people.
I estimate they're making at least 200 M's.
They don't make 200 M's. Nowhere near that. Remember, it was only 2 years ago, Silverstone was saying we can't afford a race because we don't get enough.
No, I'm saying it now. With these new prices, they're making that much.
Well, yeah, they'll make...
five bills. That's what they're aiming at. 150 to 200.
I think they make about maybe 50 million for the whole race.
No way.
50.
No way.
I think when you think about how much security costs
the
and
tickets
how much
are on average probably 400-500.
Huh? So how many
that G4S average, contract average, itself is costing like 5 million, bro?
On average, how much was the prices?
I'm looking at the prices now. I'm looking at just Sunday.
Grandstand's minimum was 300, I think.
The minimum 399, bro.
399.
399, there's 476, there's 549, there's 639, and then there's 7.
So let's work with the smallest number. And we can do the math. So 399. Okay. And then how many people went last year?
440,000 for
Sunday. It's
140,000. How many people twice, bro? They are counting
people twice. They've got the QR code, is accurate.
How many people went on Sunday?
It's 140,000.
All right, let me get the numbers.
All right, so let's use that and then times it by three because let's do it for 3 days, right? So 399 times 140,000 That's 55 million, mate.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a terrible. Yeah, but that's grandstand, though. That's grandstand.
Well, we're working with the lowest price, right? Yeah. The lowest price.
I don't think that's not the lowest price. That's a grandstand lowest price.
That's grandstand.
What was the lowest price? But what's the lowest price for today? For Silverstone today? For next year?
General admission, just like walking around.
Yeah.
That's like 300. 279.
For the lowest price.
For general admission, 279.
General admission.
For one day.
Wait, that for one day or for 3 days?
That's just race day.
Oh yeah, that's close. Okay,
that's criminal, so man. Come on, man. We can't accept this. Come on, lads, man.
Times up by three. These guys are going to be making over 150 million for one race weekend.
Yeah, but they're funding the whole UK motorsport for that one race. Yeah,
but that's insane. 150 million. That's insane. That's insane. That's the lowest price. That's
the lowest price. You've got to also remember the pound against the dollar. The pound ain't the pound anymore.
What is in football stadiums, bro?
What does that mean?
You
have to remember, listen here, you have to remember, we're not even factoring hospitality. We're not factoring merchandise. We're not factoring campsite tickets.
But do they make money off that when it comes to merchandise and licensing, do they make money off that? They don't. I doubt it. Because like FIFA, they probably keep F1 keep all the money when it comes to F1.
You're not selling stuff on my site, my land.
Silverstone also sell. Bro, you have to remember.
You think if you're doing it, this is what the stipulations are.
One second. Silverstone also sell Silverstone merchandise. So it's not only just like Mercedes hats and all that stuff. They sell Silverstone hats as well. They sell Silverstone merch. And you have to remember,
I'm not gonna lie,
bro.
If you're paying those prices, you're stupid. You're paying the prices, you're stupid, so don't mind.
For real, Silverstone, if you want to give us some comp tickets, we'll do the best content for you ever.
Yeah, man, I'll help run your thing. I'll perform on Sunday, Saturday, and Friday.
Why perform?
The one thing I will say though is, isn't Silverstone one of the only races that has F1, F2, F3, W Series? And Porsche Challenge,
probably
that, and Austria's like that as well. I think
so. If you factor all of that in, then
in a lot of racing,
you get your money.
You sit down, you watch your cars racing,
you get your money's worth. This is not a lie, you get your money's worth. But if you're paying those prices, you're still stupid. Don't come to Twitter company.
You could have just literally bought some like a cheap ticket and gone to Zandvoort or gone to
Hungary,
yeah. Right, even Japan, I've seen the price of Japan is like £91 or something like that.
Or you could go to Monza for cheaper. Do you know how much flights to Milano on Ryanair, bro? They're like £20 when you get in a sale.
I'm trying to go to Italy right now.
You can't fly anywhere. This cost of a living, bro. This pound right now, bro. I'm trying to figure out a way for my employer to pay me in dollars.
go contract, bro.
Two more questions. What from Ade Kunle, cast member? What races should be on next year's calendar that aren't there?
Kailami.
I think Kailami, they kind of
Kailami can't even sort out. I swear South Africa was struggling to sort out a Burna Boy's concert.
Kailami, a joke. I'm not gonna lie, like. We did all the hard work to try to get South Africa to work. All you had to do was pay for it, and these guys didn't have the money.
It's Africa, baby.
But they could have just done the Burna Boy and the concert at the same time, no? That would have saved so much money.
Oh lord!
Just think about it.
My people, then.
It's true, you know, the F1 concert.
Piano to the world. And Piano Fest, F1. Right there.
And Piano Fest / F1 race / Burna Boy concert. I think Sepang should be on there. Why did we stop going to Sepang? I don't understand.
I'm just happy China's back as well. China's a good track, so I'm not really bothered that much. Japan and China's there. I think the track that is still there that we don't need is Imola and Austria, but that's it. And Zandvoort as well.
Zandvoort's a disgrace. I'm not going to lie to you. Zandvoort's contract runs out next year. It's not getting renewed. I'll tell you that.
It might be Mercedes' only chance of winning a race next year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Bloody hell.
No, but yeah, you're right. We don't need two Italian.
We don't need on the calendar.
Hmm?
Sorry, I'm talking to Quinley. Portugal's not on the calendar.
I know. You just get him out of here, man. Portugal's right now. Your shift is all Portugal's right now. Portugal's a good track.
A really good track. Though.
Turkey's a good track.
Turkey's a great track. We don't need two Italian Grand Prix.
Get rid of Jeddah.
I like Jeddah.
No, I don't know. Jeddah's nice.
What Mick Schumacher's about? Don't have that track.
I like Jeddah,
man. I like it, man.
It's just I know it's dangerous, but it's
not dangerous, man.
I feel like it's one of those things that you need in this sport. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, but
you need it in the sport, man.
Sometimes you need that. It needs to hold.
Sometimes you need to have the threat of death.
Yeah.
You're driving at 200 miles an hour. What do you need, man? You need something to make them scared.
Yeah.
You need the bombs.
You need that. You need the terrorist attacks. Come on, man.
Last question. When will F1 put morals over money when it comes to tracks?
Never.
There was a terrorist attack at a track this year.
What do you expect?
There was a bomb going off at Iraq from bloody...
Like, Iraq, miles, miles away. Bombs are flying. Yeah.
Bombs, let's go. Ram, soon they'll be racing back in Russia. They don't care.
Watch the poster for
racing in Ukraine, bro.
Watch the poster for Jeddah. Yeah, it's gonna say something about something fireworks. You watch, they'll spin
bombs
it.
Away.
Yeah, they'll spin it.
Go do something stupid, man. Listen,
come to Jeddah to see the most explosive race.
You watch. Yeah. On a moral compass thing, there's not really much of a difference of racing in Jeddah and racing in Baku.
No, there's no
difference in racing in Jeddah and there's racing in America.
That's why it's controversial to say that you can't race in Russia. You can't say we can't race at tracks. We can't race in countries that are actively at war. How much countries are actively at war?
Mm. No, but they're not racing because Russia's actively at war. Let's be real.
No, that's what they said.
But the reason they weren't
racing Russia to save face, basically.
Not even that. It's just Putin threatened everyone with nuclear war. He's like, fam, come on, man. I guarantee you. Think about it. When he
picked on the phone, give it out on the grid now.
You see consequences that you've never seen in your history. And you're like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that when it came to the Russia thing, it was just like, it's kind of black and white with that one. Like, you know, every other country, it's like, all right, cool. There's a gray area. But this one was kind of black and white in terms of...
They've invaded another country,
but you've done it live with it.
All right. Before we go, Singapore predictions. Nam, who do you think's your podium? What's your podium?
I'm not predicting anything.
Oh, is you saving that?
For
the game?
Yeah, I have to. No, not even that. It's just I have a running theory about my predictions.
Okay, cool. All right, Mars, at least give us your predictions.
All I'm gonna say is, ladies and gentlemen, the trial of Anik will be coming soon.
Fingers crossed. Mars.
A Sainz win or Leclerc win.
Science in the dark.
Like, man, I can't see us on here. Don't kill me. Get your glasses, man. I'm gonna go. Lando Norris win.
Oh God! In what car?
Don't worry about it. It's with God now.
It's above you now, isn't it?
It's above you now. Put it out of there. If I win, I'm a genius. If I don't, I'm editing it out in the future. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you got this far. Follow us at Pit Stop Fracker on Twitter. Follow us on Pit Stop Fracker on Instagram. Follow, please like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. We will be back next week.
Oh, can I say something quickly? F1 TV, Sky Sports F1 TV. Yeah, can you please give us more options? because I'm sorry, I can't be having an UHD TV, Sky Q with UHD subscription and watching F1 multi-screen on SD.
SD. Wait, so you're one of those people that have a Sky Q and Glass, Sky Q and Glass customer?
I'm a responsible, yeah.
Get this guy out of here, man. When you're giving them money, what is this, man? Boo!
Boo this, man.
I'm a father of three kids. I can't be doing Fire Stick. What are you talking about, man?
I've got F1 TV still.
Hey, listen, shout out my Indonesian guy. He's the one that sorts me out, but
hey, Marks has got them screens with the chat boxes and he's typing in there.
This is just constructive criticism, yeah. This is constructive. I mean, look here, you guys are bashing Sky, but when Sky invites me onto the social media platforms to be doing content in Singapore in about a few weeks' time, yeah, don't say I didn't warn you. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Shout out to Sky.
Yeah, shout out to Sky,
bro.
Just Sky Atlantic, great channel.
Simon Lesby doing a great job. Paul, I don't know about
you. We love you, Paul DeResta.
Can we just talk about one thing? Have any lot seen the race do their top 20 drivers or top drivers of the decade?
No, I'm not able to because for some reason someone's muted the race account on the Pit Stop Record. Yeah. So Paul DeResta made it to the top 20.
Paul DeResta
made it to the top 20 and then on the
let's stop this. Let's
shout out to everybody. We will be back next week. We'll have a review of the Singapore Grand Prix. Peace.
Yeah. And don't complain paying £600 for tickets. You're stupid.
Brand new season, brand new dawn for Formula One. It's the Bahrain Grand Prix. And it's lights out and away we go.
We off the grid. This for my kid.
Network.